Precious Lord, the Gospel Song Legacy of Thomas Andrew Dorsey. From National Public Radio and the Smithsonian Institution, I'm Bernice Johnson Regan, and this is Wade in the Water.
Gospel, we feel, is a song of good news, a song of good tidings, and it has taken, we've given it that name, and the name has served well, and I think the name holds well.
Thomas Andrew Dorsey. We call him the father of gospel music. He was not the first to create the new sacred songs, but it was Dorsey who named these songs gospel. He was also the most prolific of the young songwriters who surfaced within the black church during the first four decades of this century. The sacred songs of Thomas Dorsey, created in the crossroads between the street and the church, and by that I mean Dorsey pulled heavily sometimes from his earlier experiences in the blues, and it could be heard in the sound and the rhythm. With his songs and his life, Dorsey transformed African American sacred song and worship traditions. Dorsey wrote songs for every phase of worship. His Highway to Heaven, performed by Donald Vales and the Celebration Delegation, continues to be a favorite among gospel churches for their opening processionals.
I am Lena McGlynn, and I am a composer, basically classical, and I am also the niece of the father of gospel music, Thomas A. Dorsey. He believed that the music had a message, and that the message was not overwhelmed by your emotion, but that your emotion was overwhelmed by the message. And so he wanted form, and he wanted soul, and he wanted your improvisation, but with the touch of the Holy Spirit and discipline and musicality.
It was in my childhood, 'twas many years ago, with the spirit of the Savior, I was filled.
Reverend Eugene Smallwood of Los Angeles, California, accompanied by pianist Gwendolyn Cooper Leitner, in his 1993 Smithsonian performance of Dorsey's gospel hymn, Little Wooden Church. In his campaign to get his music heard, Thomas Andrew Dorsey created a movement, a sacred music community, often referred to by gospel music scholars as the Chicago School of Gospel. Gospel recording and performing artist Albertina Walker talked about the way Dorsey stimulated the new gospel community in Chicago.
By Professor Thomas A. Dorsey, the father of gospel music, being right here in this city. So many singers was here in this city, good singers, you know. They got a chance to get hold of his music before anybody else. And by him writing like he was writing, other writers began to introduce their music, whereas they hadn't done this you know, boldly before.
The Sally Martin Singers, organized by Sally Martin, came out of Chicago's gospel community. Here they performed Thomas Andrew Dorsey's Gospel Transformation of the Spiritual, Old Ship of Zion.
Feed me, feed me, Jesus, feed me, oh, on till I want no more, and take me to thy blessed home above. Oh, make my journey brighter, make my burden lighter, and help me to do good wherever I can. Oh, let thy presence thrill me, let the Holy Spirit fill me, and hold me in the hollow of thy hand. Oh, oh, hide me in thy bosom until the storm of life is over. Then rock me in the cradle of thy love. Oh, feed me, Jesus, feed me. 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 Until I want no more, then take me to thy blessed home above.
The Dixie Hummingbirds of Philadelphia, Pennsylvania salute Dorsey with their performance of his Hide Me in Thy Bosom. Everybody, whether you were soloist, choir, or quartet, had to come by Dorsey. At one point, all of the new songs were actually called Dorsey's.
As far as his songs were concerned, Dorsey was the one who gave us simple melody, few words, those words in the language of the everyday person, and harmonies that everyone could anticipate.
Gospel music analyst and Wade in the Water scholar Horace Clarence Boyer.
For example, he wrote this: if we never needed the Lord before, sure do need him now. Oh, sure do need him now. Sure do need him now. If we never needed the Lord before, sure do need him now. We need him every day and every hour. Now, when he goes to the verse, to the contrasting section, look at this. We need him in the morning. We need him at night. We need him in the noonday, when the sun is shining bright. We need him when we're burdened. We need him when we're sad. We need him when we're happy, and when our hearts are glad. Oh, if we never needed the Lord before, sure do need him now. Now that was classic gospel. Now we're beginning to talk about the kinds of songs that Thomas A. Dorsey wrote, and the kinds of songs in the 30s and 40s which brought people in droves to this music.
The 1979 Mass Choir of the National Convention of Choirs and Choruses performed Dorsey's Let Us Go Back to God. This is an excellent example of a singing where the composition is transformed, and what you're actually hearing is the sound of the shout, the sound of a choir in full worship energy. Thomas Andrew Dorsey was born in Villarica, Georgia in 1899. He was the oldest of five children born to Thomas and Etta Dorsey. His father was a minister and a school teacher, and his mother a church musician. Dorsey learned to play the piano and the pipe organ, listening to his mother. According to his niece, Lena McGlynn, music was a vital part of Dorsey's family life.
Everybody is a musician in my family. Thomas Dorsey's brother, Curtis, could play any instrument you put in front of him. And Lloyd, the other brother, could play jazz piano like you never heard before in your life. And Lovey, his sister, Lovey could play and sing. And my mother could play and sing and write. And what we would do, we'd eat. And then after dinner, everybody would play something.
When times got hard in Villa Rica, Reverend Dorsey moved his family to Atlanta. Young Thomas Dorsey was about 11. In Atlanta, Dorsey also became attracted to street life and secular music and began to play blues in what was then known as Atlanta's Red Light District.
And I played for the dances and all of the parties, the pump parties and things. And when they opened the roof garden there, I think it was on the Oddfellas building to the old Atlanteans, I helped open the roof garden in 1914. I was one of the piano players there.
Ah, play that thing now, Mr. Guitar Jeff. Ain't that mighty nice? Ah, do it, boy. Ah, hold it now.
He was 15 years old, the son of a Baptist minister and one of the most popular blues pianists in Atlanta. Playing blues in juke joints had its attraction, but this was not a comfortable route for Dorsey.
Because you have him growing up with a strong presence of sacred music in his life, but then you've got this uncle, Phil's music, which is the blues music.
Dorsey biographer, Michael Harris.
Then you have him later on going into the city, developing this party style or whatever, basically leaving the church altogether, but still having this strong presence with his mother at home and his father, of course, actively into the church. So this is another dialectic that starts setting up and exercising some tension in his life.
The lure of street life took Thomas Andrew Dorsey to Chicago in 1916.
Between the years of 1912 through to about 1918 is when the great exodus from the South started to the North of my people. And anything that moved seemed to have a bearing on them, whether the train, or they couldn't say very much about automobiles, but they didn't have them. But there, in that time, I wrote a skit there about the folk from the backwoods who took the straight line straight to Chicago, where they felt that money grew on trees, eggs was made in a factory, and a man could scratch his bread out of the concrete. Mm. They felt that it afforded opportunities just that great.
The period of the 1920s was challenging for Dorsey. He wrote and recorded several successful blues songs. Near the end of the decade, he was the road band pianist and arranger for the great Ma Rainey, but it was not enough. He moved back and forth between a blues life and the church, looking for a musical and spiritual resolution. It is very difficult today for anyone to understand how traumatic it would have been to live during the 1920s in the black community and not want to choose between the church and the blues. As a musician, Dorsey could hear both. He needed both. Why did he have to choose? He paid a high emotional price, experiencing at one point a total collapse from the strain.
And he also had an illness, and he just couldn't get rid of it. And he stayed in the hospital and stayed in the hospital, and people just didn't know what was wrong with him.
Lena McLean.
It was just the Lord getting his attention to tell him to do what he was put on this earth to do. So then he started writing. And one of his first songs was, "I was standing by the bedside of a neighbor." This was his friend in the hospital, who was just about to cross the swelling tide. And I asked him if he would do me a favor, kindly take this message to the other side. "Now, if you see my Savior, tell him that you saw me. And when you saw me, I was on my way. Woo. You may chance to meet my father and my mother. Just tell them I'm coming home someday."
I was standing by the bedside of a neighbor. Lord, I was bound to cross been smelling tight. And I asked him if he would do me a favor. Kindly take this message to the other side. If you see the Savior, tell him that you're sorry.
Oh,
Lord, oh, you so need. I was on my way when I reached that golden city. Think of
God.
Don't you forget to tell the Savior what I say. Though you have to make the journey on without me, friends, that's a debt that soon or late it must be paid. You may see some old friends who will ask you for
me.
Tell them that I'm coming home someday.
Legendary Golden Gate Quartet performed Dorsey's first gospel hit. Dorsey biographer Michael Harris.
He wrote If You See My Savior, and in essence was going to start trying to keep those songs going, and he was trying to sell them, but he wasn't having much luck. He likes to tell this story where he sent out 2,500 free copies to a lot of Baptist ministers, and not a single person wrote back to order a copy. And things were going pretty badly for him, and it was in the sort of depression that he got this temptation from Tampa Red to write the music to this words that Tampa Red had, and he wrestled with it for a while because he recognized it was going to take him back into this secular world which he had pledged he wouldn't go into.
But Dorsey did go back into the blues. As Georgia Tom, he teamed up with Tampa Red, and they continued to write the double entendre songs with titles like It's Tight Like That, You Can't Get That Stuff No More, and But They've Got It Fixed Right On.
Yeah, well, the Ford met a boy named Tim. He liked her and she liked him. Ford broke down in a country park. They didn't get home till after dark. But they got it fixed, ain't no doubt. Nobody knows what it's all about. Too bad that the news got out, but they got it fixed right on. A peg leg man had a gal named Sue. She broke his peg leg half in two. Only way they could fix the leg was to let his gal take a hold of the peg. But they got it fixed, ain't no doubt. Nobody knows what it's all about.
Even with the success of his secular blues, Thomas Dorsey continued to write gospel songs.
Now, gospel songwriters come and gospel songwriters go. But did you know I'm the first one that made the market for gospel songs? I went to the churches and sang my songs at the end of the service, those who would let me.
Dorsey did not always sing the songs himself. He would play the piano while a singer demonstrated his new compositions. He would then sell the sheet music for 10 cents. One of his first demonstrators was a young woman named Sally Martin. she became crucial to the Dorsey Marketing Network, going into the communities throughout the country and organizing choirs and training them to do the new music. In 1985, Sally Martin spoke before an audience at the Smithsonian about her contribution to the Dorsey system of marketing gospel music.
I had to go into a town, try to find a pianist, could read a manuscript. Well, you know, that's pretty hard because I couldn't hardly read the book. But however, I went on. I'd find someone that could read. Then I started having manuscripts made so I could carry it with me. And maybe they could read the manuscript a little better than trying to just catch on to what I was trying to tell them.
I'll tell of the Savior. I'll tell of His favor. I'll tell it wherever I go. Blessing, I go on confessing. I'll tell it wherever I go. The life is uncertain, I cannot understand, but thank Him and trust Him and pray while I can. I'll just tell it, excel it, let all voices swell it. I'll tell it wherever I go. I know Him, adore Him. Well, a good life I want to show Him. I go. He's nearest, He's clearest. In my life, He's dearest. I'll tell it wherever I go. What He is to you, maybe you cannot see. He raised me forever. I'll praise Him. I'll tell it wherever I go. If I were dying with just one word to say, I'd speak it for Jesus. Then I'd breathe my life away. There, meeting me there, then go where He prepared. I'll tell it wherever I go.
The stately Sally Martin and Thomas Dorsey's I'll Tell It Wherever I Go. Dorsey continued to move back and forth between secular and sacred songs until 1932, when the death of his wife and child became the genesis for his most important composition. Precious Lord is a song created out of his personal tragedy.
I call it a litany of prayer that he wrote the song.
L. Stanley Davis teaches gospel music history at Loyola and DePaul Universities in Chicago.
Out of his despair, out of his anger, he was angry. His hurt, in his helpless state, he penned the words.
Blues, jazz, the gospel.
I want to talk about the gospel songs after going into that field. I went out to go to St. Louis one morning to work in a revival. I left my wife asleep in bed, got in my car, and I went along. She was going to become a mother, and I was anticipating a great happiness and great joy on my return. But I got to St. Louis, and about the second night in the meeting, the telegram boy came and brought me a telegram. I opened it, and it read, "Your wife just died. Come home." I couldn't finish the meeting. Finally, I got home to Chicago the next morning, and it was so. I found it all true. They'd never move the body, and that killed me off. I wanted to go back to blues. But after putting my wife away and the baby in the same casket, I went to the old poor old college in the music room there, Mr. Fry and I, and just browsing over the keys. And seemingly the words, like drops of water from a crevice of a rock above, seemed to drop in line with me on the piano. "Precious Lord, take my hand. Lead me on. Let me stand. I'm tired, I'm weak, I'm worn. Through the storm, through the night, lead me on to the light. Take my hand, precious Lord, and lead me home.
Precious Lord, I love your name. When I look back from whence I came, sometimes stumbling, sometimes falling, sometimes alone. Friends and love ones, I love so dear. Many, many are gone, but still I'm here.
At the age of 83, Thomas Andrew Dorsey performed Precious Lord for the film Say Amen, Somebody. And it was to Dorsey and this gospel hymn that we turn for comfort when Martin Luther King was assassinated in 1968. At his memorial service, it was performed by Mahalia Jackson.
Gracious Lord, take my hand, lead me on, let me stand. I am tired, I am weak, I am worn. Through me home. When my way grows dream, precious Lord, linger near, and when my life
back in the early 30s or the late 20s, and I was Mahalia's pianist and her promoter for 7 years. And the first time Mahalia made an appearance in New York, I took her to New York, and she's a great soul and a great singer. And I told Mahalia back in those days, I said, I'm not able to do the things for you that I would like to do or the things that you deserve. But you have a voice that no other singer has. And someday, someone will discover you, and you will be a great singer. And she is.
Lena McLean.
Uncle Ted, that's what we call him, Uncle Ted, Thomas A. Dorsey. He was the minister of music down at Pilgrim Baptist Church. And so it was nothing for me to see Mahalia Jackson, William A. Ford Smith, Sally Martin, Professor Fry, Magnolia Lewis Butts. It was nothing for me to see these people on Saturdays or Friday nights, on Sundays, over to the house practicing.
In order to be a successful gospel music composer during Dorsey's day, one had to also be an organizer. In 1932, Dorsey organized the first gospel choir at Chicago's Ebenezer Baptist Church. That same year, with Sally Martin, he called together the first national convention of gospel choirs and choruses. And here, the O'Neill Twins of St. Louis lead the mass choir of the National Convention of Choirs and Choruses in a swinging shout rendition of Dorsey's When I've Done the Best I Can.
When I've done the best I can, and my friend don't understand about it, then my Lord will carry me home. Oh Lord, yeah. After I have done my best, I will find a peaceful rest. Then my Lord will carry me home. Yeah.
Dorsey's convention, he inspired the coming together of gospel singers in a tremendous way.
Gospel music analyst Horace Clarence Boyer.
Take, for example, in 1967, James Cleveland organized his gospel music workshop. Later on, the Church of God in Christ organized its UNAC. The Hawkins brothers organized their music conference. Bobby Jones has Gospel Explosion down in Nashville each year. This idea of bringing those people who love this kind of music together is very important. This is an innovation of Mr. Dorsey. And in addition to this, the man is writing songs every year for his convention and teaching it to them and playing it to them.
It was not an easy task for him to put this gospel music into the hallowed halls of African-American Christendom.
Music historian L. Stanley Davis.
And at the forefront of that opposition were our black ministerial leaders and our deacons and trustees, who again did not understand the nature. All they heard was that blues sound, that those the swing and the rhythmic patterns. And they had a problem with that, as they so said in Sing Mahalia Sing, we don't want that mess in our church. And they were adamant about that.
When Dorsey began to finally sink into his work as a gospel song composer, he created controversy, because in fact, in some of his compositions, you could actually hear that he had been a blues pianist. One of the strongest examples, Search Me, Lord, here performed by Brother Joe May.
Oh, search me, Lord. Please search me, Lord. Now, you just turn the light from heaven on the soul. Oh, if you find anything that shouldn't be, take it out and straighten me. I wanna be right. I wanna be saved, Lord. I wanna be whole. Oh, search me, Lord. Please search me, Lord. Well, you just turn the light from heaven on the soul. Oh, find anything that shouldn't be. Take it out and straighten me. I wanna be right, Lord. I wanna be saved. Yes, I've got to be whole. You know when I'm right. You know when I'm wrong. You know where I go. You know where I belong. You know my secrets too. Lord, search me, touch me, clean me through and through. Oh, you know all my thoughts, my every word or deed. You know where I go, Lord, and know just what I need. It may be something there, oh, that I'm not aware. Lord, take it, move it, keep me in your care. Oh, search me, Lord. Please search me, Lord. Now, you just turn the light from heaven on my soul. Oh, find anything that shouldn't be. take it out and straighten me. I wanna be right, I wanna be saved, Lord, I've got to be whole. Oh, search me, yeah, search me. Well, well, you just turn the light from heaven on the soul. Oh, find anything that shouldn't be. Take it out and straighten for me. Wanna be right, I wanna be saved, Lord, I got to be whole.
It is important to look at Dorsey's legacy as centering and galvanizing a community of musicians, publishers, performers who were insistent that they be heard. And they were successful. Dorsey set the model. He organized the first Black-owned gospel publishing house, and he developed the marketing and promotion strategy. One of his most popular gospel songs was Peace in the Valley. And you can find it interpreted by singers from every possible performance tradition, going from one of the most popular songs recorded by country singer Red Foley.
Oh, well, I'm tired and so weary, but I must go along till the Lord will come. Call me away, oh yes. Well, the morning's so bright, and the lamb is the light, and the night, night is as black as the sea, oh yes.
There will be peace in the valley for me someday.
There will be peace in the valley for me. Oh Lord, I pray.
To Peace in the Valley, interpreted by Sam Cooke, lead singer at that time for the Soul Stirrers.
We'll be gentle. You know the wounds gonna be so tame. Mighty lamb, if you will lie down with a lamb, oh yes, I know the host from the wild will be led by a little child, and I'll be changed from this creature.
And a more contemporary arrangement by the Henry Davis Singers of Washington, D.C.
Plenty space, plenty room at the top of the ladder if you'll take it round by round.
Precious Lord, take my hand.
Precious Lord, the gospel music legacy of Thomas Andrew Dorsey. This program is a part of the Wade in the Water series produced by National Public Radio and the Smithsonian Institution. Senior producer is Judy Moore Latta, associate producer Sonia Williams. The technical director is Renee Pringle with additional engineering by Paris Morgan and Baez Studios. Production assistants Beverly Oliver and Joseph Gill, with support from Dakia Simmons and Michael Johnson. We extend special thanks to Studs Terkel and radio station WFMT Chicago, Nick Spitzer, the Smithsonian Institution's National Museum of American History, and NPR member station WGBH. Executive producer is Sandra Ratley. I'm conceptual producer Bernice Johnson-Regan.
Major funding for Wade in the Water, African American Sacred Music Traditions, was provided by a grant from the National Endowment for the Humanities. Additional support was provided by the Corporation for Public Broadcasting and the Catholic Communication Campaign, a parishioner-funded program that gets the good news around. This is NPR, National Public Radio.